Start a prayer. Our good and great God, we thank you and love you, and we praise and honor and glorify you as our God and Father. We thank you especially for the gift of your Son Jesus and your Spirit and all the ways that you have helped us so that we can be your people now and forever. And we thank you for your remarkable word and the treasure it is and the great truths that it explains to us and the ways that it convicts us and motivates us, rebukes us and helps us. And we thank you for our children and ask you to help us to guide them to your word, how to know it and how to appreciate and how to obey it. Thank you for the opportunity of the Bible class workshop this morning, and please be with us as we give our hearts and minds to this project that we might be effective teachers of your way and will. Help us that we can live for you always and help as many people as we can to do the same. And we thank you for Jesus especially, and we pray in his name. Amen. Well, I'm going to start with telling you that I'm excited about Bible classes. They have great potential and can do wonderful things in contributing to the overall work of a local church and families, reinforcing what mothers and fathers are doing. They can't replace that, but they can reinforce that. The apostle said that the church is the pillar and the support of the truth, and so we have great responsibility toward the truth of God. And what better way can we spend our time, money, energy, and effort than to teach our children how to know and follow and love Jesus? So that's why I'm excited about Bible classes. I'm going to tell you a little about what we're going to do today. We have three parts to this workshop. The first is the big picture of the Shaping Hearts for God curriculum, what all the components are and how they work together. In the second segment, I'll be talking about creating an effective learning environment. And the third will be effective teaching strategies, in which I'll be especially explaining how to use the teaching, the teacher's guide for the curriculum. So I plan to go about 45 or 50 minutes in each segment and give a break each time. I want this to be real informal, so if you have questions, just feel free to raise your hand and we'll try to do it. I will pause at the end of my presentation for questions, but if you have them along the way and think that we need to discuss it right then, will you just raise your hand? We'll be glad to do that. So why do we have Bible classes? We could give a lot of answers, but I'm conducting the workshop, so you're going to get my answers. They help us know God and his will. And they provide a means of instruction and discussion, build on our personal study. They counteract secular influences. They help build faith, character, and spiritual strength. And they provide a means of evangelism. We could go into scriptures for all of those, but I just wanted to get those six important facts before us because it impresses us with how important this workshop is and how important it is that we have effective Bible classes. I want to bring attention especially to the last one. Children do not have the inhibitions that many of us do about inviting people to come. And so they'll invite their friends. And if their friends become interested in Bible class and are engaged in that, who knows what the Lord may do with that to bring their parents and other people. It's happened many times at Castleberry Church as a result of people in our Bible classes. So let's not discount that great purpose and opportunity. There are some key principles of Bible classes that I want to get before us. And first of all, we're relying on the grace and the providence of God and the power of his word. We're not trying to manipulate or do anything sensational. We want to make sure that we get God's word before people and let it do its work and get it before them effectively. And so we rely on his grace and providence for sure. We make plans to be effective. That's the only way that anybody is effective at anything, is if we make plans to do it. It doesn't just happen to happen. It may on rare occasions, but most of the time it's because you plan and think and carry it out effectively. A key principle of great Bible classes is to involve people. And that's why I made the announcement and gave the encouragement last night, because there are many things that can be done to support this whole process. in addition to standing before kids and teaching them. That, of course, is a vital part, but there are many things that others can do to support the teachers and encourage them, things that men can do, older ladies can do, that may not stand before children or anybody who doesn't feel capable of doing that. There are other things you can do to support the teaching and learning. And then provide needed materials and equipment. I was in your Bible class resource room this morning, and I see that you're doing that. Is there a laminator there? I didn't notice. That's a great tool. And if you were to go up there right now, you'll see that there are a lot of letters scattered out because I was scrounging for letters as quickly as I could, and I couldn't get them all put up. But if you use the resource room, you need to do better than I did because we left it in a mess. But somebody has to clean it up, and I've cleaned up many a resource room after people have finished with it. But provide needed materials and equipment. If teachers have to go out and buy everything they use, that'll be a burden to them, and they won't be able to produce as good a product or as good a material as you would. So I hope that you're supportive of that. And do whatever it takes. I told you last night that I serve on the school board, and this is a little slogan that I borrowed from our school board work in educating children. Do whatever it takes to help our children know and follow, love and obey Jesus. So those are some key principles of great Bible classes. And you have chosen to use the Shaping Hearts for God Bible class curriculum. And so I'll tell you a little of the story of it and then get on to showing you the big picture. Early in the year, in the 2000s, I came to Casbury in 1993. About 2000, we decided to rework our Bible class program entirely. And a part of that was that we were going to write our own curriculum. So here was the process to begin with, that if you were going to teach next quarter, then you wrote the material this quarter that you would teach the next quarter. So what we discovered is that discouraged good and effective teachers because many of them thought they could not write, did not have the time, did not have the equipment to write curriculum, though they were good teachers. So they would say no to teaching because they couldn't write. So that didn't work. So we had to revamp that idea. And so it gravitated finally to three of us, myself, Mary Andrews, and Pat Underwood, who eventually wrote all the material for these series. And we wrote and we used and we rewrote because we didn't like some of the things. We wrote a first for parents to help their children and discovered that once children can read, most parents don't do anything but say, "Did you get your Bible class lesson?" Which is a mistake. I hope you won't do that, but that's what happens in many cases. So we rewrote the material for students. Our material, our literature curriculum is for children at their level. We've made special efforts to put forth material that has the size and the look and the vocabulary for each age level. So we used it for one or two cycles, and about 2005, people kept saying, who would visit Casbury? Oh, this is good. We like this. Our kids like this. Why don't you publish this? So Susan and I decided that we would do that. And so in 2005, we began Shaping Hearts Publications and started publishing the curriculum. And we are still doing that to this day. So I write, and Susan prints, binds, and punches and binds and ships. And we have a couple of employees. Jamie Holland, who is a very talented lady who lived in Fort Worth until about a year ago, was our graphic designer and artist. And they moved to New Mexico, right? Yeah, they moved to New Mexico. And I miss her a lot because she understood my thinking, and I would say, can you do this? And I always thought Jamie could do just about anything, and she just about could as far as graphics were concerned. So all the layout is attributed to her. So we do have a website, as you see here, shapingheartsforgod.com. It has a lot of free stuff on it, a lot of resources that you might be able to use. So here's the way it looks, the overall design. It's a three-year curriculum, 2 years in the Old Testament, 1 year in the New. It is based on a quarterly system so that you have 8 quarters in the Old Testament and 4 quarters in the New Testament. Which means that if you start your child at twos and threes, which is where our curriculum begins, and they go through the fifth grade, that they will have studied through the whole Bible three times. Isn't that great? By the time they're in the fifth grade, they will have gone through three times from Genesis to Revelation. We're expanding it into the young teen material slowly. I'm doing all the writing for that. It's going slower than I wished. It's especially going slower than Susan wishes, because she gets requests for it all the time. The New Testament is finished. We have four quarters available for middle school in the New Testament, and there's one quarter finished in the Old. And I'm slowly working on God's Mighty Hand, Exodus, right now, sort of. So here's the scope and sequence of Shaping Hearts for God curriculum. You'll notice in the left-hand column the Bible material that's covered, in the right-hand column the theme. And the theme is a kid-friendly theme. It's something that kids can grasp at their age level, something more concrete, and something about which a teacher can decorate and emphasize a theme. So Genesis is all things made new, and the workbooks are found at the bottom. The look of the workbooks are found at the bottom. Exodus is God's mighty hand, since with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, God delivered them. Leviticus and Numbers take time to be holy, and we use timepieces, clocks, and watches, and so forth. Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Judges, I'm in the Lord's army, plus Ruth. I don't want to leave her out. I'm in the Lord's army has a military theme. Then the last half of the Old Testament, 1 Samuel through 1 Kings 11, loving hearts and working hands. David, a man after God's own heart. Several things are said that David did with his hands. Then the next one is the Kings, 1 Kings through 2 Kings, plus Chronicles and selected prophets measuring by God's rule. And that title came from the fact that David becomes the ideal king, and other kings are measured by him, that they did or did not do as David did in his relationship with God. The next is Building Your Life for God, which are the books that are related to the exile, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and the prophets that are related there. And the final one is the wisdom book, the hardest one we thought to write, and we hear from people the hardest one to teach. A lot of curriculums I've noticed do not include much, if at all, from the wisdom books, but we gave it a shot. I think we have some pretty good stuff there, but you might have to work a little harder with that quarter. Some of the others. Then the New Testament. Life of Christ in two quarters. First, his words and works, his parables and miracles especially. Stop, look, and listen is stop at Bible class. Look at Jesus' life and listen to his words. That's where stop, look, and listen comes from. And the second quarter, the crucifixion and the resurrection, the cross and the empty tomb. Acts, we emphasize a multicultural, multilingual theme. The gospel is for all. We have children of all races and so forth in the graphics. And the New Testament letters, letters from heaven. I argued long and hard to call it You've Got Mail, but I lost to the other ladies who were helping. So letters from heaven it is in the New Testament letters. So here are all the parts of the Shaping Hearts for God curriculum. I think it's good to see a big, anytime you see a big picture, you're always more equipped and capable to use parts of it. So here's the big picture. Right in the center are materials that relate to the twos and threes, what we call two and threes class in a box. And I'll be explaining it a little more in a moment, but it has there are two options, class in a box one and class in a box two. And then the material that accompanies that would be the teaching sheets and the take-home cards. Then on the far left-hand column you see is the curriculum for preschool through fifth grade. It has workbooks at all levels, teacher's guides, activity books, and lesson graphics and local graphics. And I'll be detailing each of those. And then we have supplemental material, which is in the second column, moving from left to right. We have the curriculum guide, maps, the timelines, and we have one little graphic packet that pertains to the plagues. And then on the right side is the young teens material, and then our Vacation Bible School material as well. So that's the big picture. And here's the close-up view. Class in a box. Susan, by the way, is going to hold up some things while I'm talking, and she'll help me with some songs and things. The way Class in a Box works is that it has a core curriculum. And the core curriculum is made up of flip books and songs primarily. There are a few wall graphics. And the philosophy is that you use the core curriculum every class period, and you supplement it with whatever the kids are learning in that particular quarter. So the core curriculum stays the same. And there are some options. You could use Class in a Box 1 on Sunday morning, Class in a Box 2 on Wednesday evening. Or you can use Class in a Box 1 for 6 months and then Class in a Box 2 for 6 months. That's the way we do it at Castleberry Church. So the teacher knows the songs and uses them Sunday and Wednesday. In the agenda, do we have an agenda? The agenda shows the outline that the teacher can follow with twos and threes during the class period. So it says welcome and so forth. And then every time you go to the lesson of the day, it's in blue. So you come to a point that it says review the teaching points from the lesson using the teaching sheets. And so what you are there teaching sheets? I think those are lesson graphics. I'm not sure we have teaching sheets. Okay. It's not necessary. I have some pictures of them. Yeah. Yeah. The teaching sheets, let me just go to the slide. I think that'll be the easiest way. I got ahead of myself a little here. I was going to detail it all. Sorry. Here we go. So a class in a box has instructions, class agenda, song books, flip books, visuals, maps, song CD, and DVD tutorial. So the songs especially has a song book that are in written form, and then there is a CD that someone's singing the song so you can learn them. And the DVD is actually someone teaching the lesson from or one class period from beginning to end. Pat Underwood, in fact, the lady who wrote it, is the one who is teaching in that DVD. So, and then Class in a Box 2 follows the same philosophy, has the same contents, but different songs and themes. Each can stand alone, right? Class in a Box 1 is a complete unit. Class in a Box 2 is a complete unit, however you wish to use it. Here are the teaching sheets and take-home cards. So for each lesson, each week, you'll have a different teaching sheet. There are 13 teaching sheets in a package. So if your other kids are doing I'm in the Lord's Army, that's a teaching sheet with 13 teaching sheet packet with 13 sheets in them. They have a graphic on the front that features the main lesson of that day, and on the back is a paragraph that summarizes the lesson, teaching points, memory verse, and daily Bible reading. Accompanying that is a take-home card, which are these little cards, that has the same graphic that you've shown in class. And on the back is the brief paragraph, the memory verse, and the daily Bible reading. So you can send these home with your students at the end of the class period. And if their parents will, and we encourage them to, work with them on their memory verse, do their daily Bible reading during the week to help prepare them for class. So, just for a little demonstration, we always try to do application, and this is the application song for Class in a Box, Whatever I Will Be When I Grow Up. Do you know that song? If I should be a fireman when I grow up, I'll be a Christian fireman when I grow up. If I should be a doctor when I grow up, I'll be a Christian doctor when I grow up. It goes on through and all the way to the end. If I should be an astronaut when I grow up, be a Christian astronaut when I grow up. And it ends by saying, whatever I will be when I grow up, I'll be a Christian first when I grow up. So we do familiar songs like Jesus Loves Me, and maybe some that you're not so familiar with, like the Crayon song, Where Are We Going Today? So some of them aren't songs, so I need you to help me with this. You're the kids, okay? And I'm the teacher. So I'm going to say, where are we going today? Are we going to the zoo? And you teach the kids to say, no, not today. So y'all practice that. Are we going to the zoo?
No, not today.
Okay. Are we going to play baseball?
No, not today.
Are we going... Flip these two. Are we going camping?
No,
not today. But where are we going today? Let's see. At the very end, where are we going? To Bible class. That's where we're going today. How to treat your Bible. Do you have that one? And then we teach children how do you treat your Bible. So you're the kids again, and I'm the teacher. If you use these and have better fingers than I do, they do better. Do we color the pages in our Bible? And you teach the kids to say, oh, no. So, do we color the pages in our Bible? Do we fold down the pages in our Bible? Now, you have to work with them on this one. Do we write in our Bible? If you're a child... Oh, no, because you don't know how to write in your Bible yet. Do we cut the pages in our Bible? Oh, no. But we love our Bible, and so we teach them. And you can have little Bibles, little handheld Bibles, and the kids can hold them in their hands and teach them all kind of things. So you go through the core curriculum, and the difference is that each week you do the lesson of the day that's determined by the teaching sheets. Always trying to make application. So, any questions on that? Are you using that for twos and threes? Yeah. I see. Sure. There's a lot of flexibility. You can do a lot of things with it. Okay, so now if you'll close your eyes a minute, I'm going to back up magically. And we're going to talk about student workbooks in a little more detail. There are 12 series, as I mentioned, 8 in the old, 4 in the new. Each series occurs at 4 levels. We use levels because... we realize that local churches don't have classes at every grade. You don't have a first grade class, second grade class, third grade class. And so if you're in a second grade class and you're using a book that says first grade, kids don't like that. But if you use a level one book, kind of slip it by them there. So we have level one is for pre-K or emergent readers. Level two is for K to first grade or beginning readers. Level 3 is for 2nd and 3rd grades or intermediate readers, and level 4 is for 4th and 5th grades or advanced readers. That's the way they're designed. Then every series has a teacher's guide. And this is an important factor here. There's one teacher's guide per series that's applicable to all levels. Okay, you don't have a level 1 teacher guide or a level 2 teacher guide. The teacher guide is applicable to all levels, and it has activities that can be used and applied at different levels, and you'll just have to choose which ones. You will not be able to use them all. Most likely, you won't be able to use them all because there are 5 or 6 usually per lesson, but you choose the one that's appropriate for your age level, the space that you have in your class, and maybe the equipment that you have available. Then the logo graphics and lesson graphics. The logo graphics are graphics that feature whatever's on the front of the book. In the case of All Things Made New, it would be the sunrise graphics. And we didn't have these at the beginning, but people requested them and said, you know, we want to be able to display on our door or on a bulletin board that graphic. So we have it available. They're called Logographics, and there are two sets of Logographics per package. So it'll serve two classrooms. And the lesson graphics are graphics that relate to the curriculum itself. So that if you're studying Moses, you know, it has graphics that have to do with his birth and so forth. And I see you're using those. Somebody's laminated them. I got them out of the resource room. So if you're wise, you can laminate them and use them over and over. If you're our friends, don't laminate them and tear them up and buy them again, you know. We encourage you to laminate them. The activity books. The activity books occur at levels 1 and level 2. Level 1 is for non-readers, and those are hard to write. And level 2 are for readers. Even the non-readers are going to need somebody to help them with instructions, but you don't have to read to do the puzzles. So every activity book has two activities, two puzzles or word games or something, some activity per lesson. So lesson 1 has two puzzles. Lesson 2 has two puzzles. So in each book, there are 26 lesson activities. I have some pictures of those a little later in the presentation. There's the fronts of all of them. Jamie Holland, who I mentioned to you, did all of these, and she said by the time she finished, let's see, 12 times 2 times 26, whatever that is, she didn't have any more puzzles or word games left in her. So she did a good job. The curriculum guide. There's one of those. The curriculum guide is a handy little thing. It reminds you of many of the things that I'm going to be talking about today. It gives you hints and suggestions and resources to use for all parts of the curriculum. How to do bulletin boards, how to store things, how to teach the lesson on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and so forth. So those are all the parts of Shaping Heart curriculum. Now we're going to spend a little time this morning with the student workbooks. Student workbooks are designed for students to take home. They are written at their level and their vocabulary. It's better to, I get this question asked a lot. Some churches only have the books at the classroom and the kids don't take them home because they say kids don't bring them back. But it's better to have it at home and maybe, hopefully, complete the lesson and not bring it back, because really the teacher doesn't use the workbook in class that much. It's really not designed so much to be used in class as it is to prepare the student for what's going to happen in class. So it's not absolutely necessary to have it in class. Many of the teachers encourage the students to bring it back. They check and see if they've done their lesson and things like that. But really, the workbook itself is much more valuable for the student's use personally and with his family and home than in the classroom. So here are some features of the student workbooks that I think are important for you to be aware of. In levels 1, 2, and 3, there is a parents page in each lesson. I told you we wrote for parents first and later for students, but we retained in levels 1, 2, and 3 the parents page. So if you will help your children, want to encourage them, then you have some information. It states the theme, the objectives, the memory verse, and the Bible readings are all included on the parents' page. So those are some things. You'll know what theme they're studying in that particular lesson, what they're supposed to be able to do when the lesson is completed. That would be the objectives, the memory verse, and the Bible readings, brought all together in one place. I'm going to talk a little about the Bible readings. The Bible readings in all levels are from the same place in the Scripture, but you memorize less, or you read less in the earlier levels, and you read more in the upper levels. So you can just take a look at the first reading here, Acts 17, verses 11 and 12, just two verses at level 1. Drop down to level 4, Acts 17, 1 to 5 and 10 to 15, much more that you read. So this becomes something really good for parents to use in their family time, if you have that. Because inside the front cover of every workbook, it's on page 2 of every workbook. Page 2 of every workbook, there is a chart that pulls all the Bible readings for this particular quarter. It pulls them all together into one document. So for lesson 1, you'll find the 5 Bible readings listed on the first page of lesson 1, on the parents' page. But you'll also find them in this chart here. So what we did in our family is that we tore this page out. We tore this page out, and we taped it inside of the closet door, and we use this as the basis of our family devotional every night. So if you read the Bible readings for your oldest child, you'll be reading them for all your children, you see. They'll be included in that way. So, and I strongly encourage you to do that. You'll help your children be ready for Bible class, more engaged and informed and excited about it in that way. So that's the daily Bible readings. Try to get them into the Word every day. Then some of the features in the student workbook. As I mentioned, it has age-appropriate vocabulary, content, and text size. And it's designed for the students to read themselves. And they're all in full color, good graphic layout. For example, in the earlier grades levels, paragraph, each page is a complete unit. You don't have a sentence that goes from one page to the next. Everything is included on that page will be complete, and the graphic will match the paragraph that's beside it. And then it has a student-friendly format with the questions adjacent to the reading. So when we published it the first time, we had all reading followed by all questions. So then you have the questions and the kids have to turn back and try to find the answers. So in our final version, we have the questions that are adjacent to the reading. So you read the paragraph and answer the question. It looks like to me this particular book is from probably level 1 because there's no space to answer since the children can't read and write yet. There's no place to answer. You just ask the question. But in the later levels, there's space where they can write the answers beside the questions. Every encouragement we can give for the students to prepare themselves. Memory verse. I think this is a great feature of our curriculum. I don't know any other curriculum that has it. Maybe somebody's borrowed it. I don't know. Do you? Have you found anybody? So when I grew up, you tell me if this was your experience. We had a memory verse in the lesson, so we kind of worked on it probably on the way to church with our parents, and we got to class, and we would say our memory verse, and the teacher just kind of helped us through it, and we stumbled around, and that was it. We didn't think about it anymore. Didn't really ever learn it. So to address that situation, we have selected 3 memory verses to be learned in this quarter. And each memory verse occurs in 4 lessons. So lessons 1, 2, 3, and 4, which will be for 8 class periods, because lesson 1 will be dealt with in Sunday morning, Wednesday night, 4 weeks. So 8 class periods, 4 weeks, the kids have an opportunity to learn. So their key verses carefully chosen, and they appear in 4 lessons. So they can really spend some time and learn them. They're also graduated in different levels to be age-appropriate. Like the Bible readings, the memory verses for all levels are at the same place in the Scripture, but it's more or less depending on the level. I have an example of that. For 2s and 3s, they simply learn to say, "Go to the land that I will show you," God's call to Abraham. But if you're in the 4th grade, you're going to learn the whole thing. That God said, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives, from your family, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, bless you, make your name great. Through you, all nations of the world will be blessed." You say, "Well, that's a lot," but they have a month to learn it. And they can do it. They can do it. If they work a little at home, if your parents work with you, and you can do some things in class that I'll be showing you in the last session today, teaching strategies, how to reinforce that memory verse in class, and I think that you can you will discover your kids learning those. And isn't that great? They learn three key verses that have to do with Genesis, or three key verses with Leviticus and Numbers. The psalmist said that I may hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. We can help our kids in that endeavor. Now, I want to talk about the level four features. We make some transitions at level four that are significant. About that age, about the ages of 11 and 12 year old, they can start thinking more abstractly. Before that, they think in concrete terms. I'll tell you one of my stories that I personally experienced in that regard. I volunteered to teach on Wednesday morning. I volunteered to teach 4 and 5 year olds one time. It was during a ladies' Bible class, and I thought that I would teach the kids to free up the ladies to concentrate completely on the lesson. But I never taught 4 and 5 year olds, so I was a little concerned. So I had a walkie-talkie, and Susan had the other one. She was in the class, because what was I going to do if I had a potty issue or something like that? I was going to need help, so I was going to have to call her. So preacher that I am, I decided in the first class period that we would study the fruit of the Spirit for 4 and 5 year olds. So I made a PowerPoint presentation. Fruit of the Spirit, you know. Strawberries are love, and watermelon is peace, and pineapples is this and that and the other. So I had pictures. I had placemats that had fruit on them. I had little magnets that were on a metal cabinet. And I had some artificial fruit. So we went through the class. I talked about fruit of the Spirit, la, la, la. So about three-fourths of the way through the class, I said, "Now, children, what are we studying today?" And little Laura Beth Cathy, who's now in college at Texas A&M, she said, "Pineapples." So I discussed that with the teachers after the class was over, and they said, yep, children at that level can't make a transition between pineapple and peas or love and strawberries. They can't make that connection. So I learned a lot from that miserable experience for the kids that I created that day. So I followed it up. The next week, I tried to learn from the teachers who had a good talk with me about how kids learn. Has helped me a lot in writing curriculum for kids, by the way. We always try to make it at kids' level. So in the next class period, I decided to teach putting off and putting on from Ephesians. So here's what I did. Do you remember screen beans? They were Microsoft. It was a Microsoft clip art series. They were just figures that didn't have any facial. They were all black, like silhouettes. So they had them doing all sorts of things. So I printed out some screen bean scenes, like somebody taking flowers to somebody, or food to somebody, or visiting somebody who was sick and in the hospital. So I printed out those scenes, and I pinned them to big T-shirts of mine and put them on hangers and hung them around the room. And then I had the bad shirt. And so I made, you know, took a marker and marked all over the bad shirt, cut holes in it, and I wrote bad words on it. I mean, B-A-D-W-O-R-D-S. You know. Wrote bad words on it. And coming alive there. And so everybody had to put on the bad shirt. Each person did. You stood in the middle of the room, you put on the bad shirt. And we talked about, you know, you hit your brother, you take somebody's toy, and all the things that we do. So you have to take it off and throw it down. Then we stamped on it like that. We don't want that shirt. And then each child went around the room and got a shirt that had a scene on it that they wanted to do. Give flowers, share food, visit sick. And we wore those the rest of the class period. Now, they understood that because it was concrete. It was in their, it was at their level, and helped them to think about those things. So levels 1, 2, and 3 are different than level 4, because at level 4 they start thinking more abstractly than they do at earlier grades. They can think about how they feel. So we make some transitions that are important for you to know. The Bible readings are still age appropriate, but what happens at level four is that the Bible readings serve as the basis of the questions. Okay? Before, the questions are taken from the paragraph that's adjacent to it. Because we've simplified the story, the vocabulary and everything in the reading, then we have the question. But at level four, here's what happens. See, we have Bible reading number one, and it becomes the basis of the questions in the first box. Okay? So you might find, does this have a laser on it? Probably does. The red button, yeah. So you might find the answer here. It may be addressed because these things are associated, but really the answers to these questions right here are found in the reading of the Bible. Because that's our ultimate objective. We want kids to study the Bible for themselves. Then the second page has the second Bible reading becomes the basis of the questions in that box. So there will be five boxes in the lesson, all of which are related to the Bible readings over here. So the third Bible readings will be these on this side and so forth. Make sense? We want to lead them to study the Bible and answer the questions for themselves. So we start pointing them to the Bible at level four. These books also have a self-evaluation question. I call it the red light question. This one says, I thank God for giving his son as a perfect sacrifice. And you're to put an X in the box that best describes you. Do I never do that? Do I sometimes do that? So they have to think about themselves and what they're doing about the will and way of God. And then this level introduces an application question called a think about it question. This one is, are you offering any sacrifices to God? And how do these sacrifices cost you? After you study what a sacrifice is, then you have to ask yourself the question, what about me and sacrifices? So we introduce the application at level four. Any questions on those things? Those are some of the major features of the workbooks. Okay, the teacher's guide. The purpose and plan is that Sunday morning you deal with the Bible content and Wednesday evening you do application. Content on Sunday morning, application on Wednesday night. So you use the same lesson in the student workbook and you approach it from two different standpoints. In the teacher's guide, you have, however, separate instructions, activities, and resources. So you have teacher's guide Sunday morning lesson plan, which helps the teacher know how to teach the Bible content effectively, the Bible story. And you see here there are several activities that are listed. So you choose which ones will work for your classroom, your age kids, and so forth. And then there is the Wednesday night guide, the Wednesday night lesson plan, which helps us teachers know how to make application of what was taught on Sunday morning. So the Bible story on Sunday morning, the application on Wednesday night. We'll talk about that in more detail in our third session today. And then just a few things. Are you using the young teen material?
They're waiting until we catch up to
the New Testament. Okay. These are the parts of the young teen. It has student workbook, teacher's guide, and extra stuff. Just a few things about it. Those are the ones that are currently available. Four in the New Testament. All Things Made New is Genesis. There are 24 lessons in each of these books. Most churches have one Sunday that you have a gospel meeting or singing or something. You don't have class. So rather than miss a lesson, we just put 24 instead of 26. And you can always review if you need to fill that one in. The odd-numbered lessons cover the Bible content, 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. The even-numbered lessons make contemporary applications. They're worksheets that draw some part of the lesson before it and that's linked to it. For example, if you're studying Joseph from Genesis, the related lesson is about immorality. You know, he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. So it's a related lesson that has contemporary application. And they're designed, these books are designed especially to help and support men teachers. Men start teaching mostly at the middle school level. And so they don't have things you have to cut out, guys. But they, you might have to bring a newspaper to class or a golf club or something like that. A wrench or something to help reinforce or illustrate the lesson. Okay. Now the supplemental components. The logo graphics. As I mentioned, they feature the graphic of each series, and they're tiled, T-I-L-E-D. They come in on 11 by 17 paper like this. And you have to cut off one white strip and use glue to glue the two sheets together. And when you do that, watch carefully, it becomes a big piece of paper. So you can have bigger graphics. Some of them have four sheets. Some of them, like the giant in our, I just put one of those together, the giant for the Vacation Bible School series, is 8 feet high. And he has about 20 or 24 sheets tiled together. So on the bottom you have the accents, in this case God's mighty hand, and then you have the major graphic, which is the fist. The lesson graphics. The lesson graphics are graphics that relate to every lesson. So for example, here's some that are for Numbers. The Israelites in the wilderness, the Ark of the Covenant. And let me have some of those lesson graphics. It has on the back of them what where they belong. So this is Take Time to Be Holy Lesson 12. There are two for that. No, there are three for that. All those belong to Lesson 12. And Take Time to Be Holy. So you can laminate those and use them from year to year. And teachers are really creative with these. We've had a lot of teachers share ideas with us. For example, you can reveal them week by week as time goes on, and then maybe halfway through the quarter. No, some teachers take a little clothesline and they put it in class, and they usually these little bitty clothespins. You've seen them, and they clip them on there. Then halfway through the quarter, they take them all down and get the kids to put them back up in order. So they're learning the Bible story that way. And all sorts of, you can figure out all sorts of games and ways to reinforce them. Then we have maps, both Old and New Testament maps. They're full color maps and they're simplified. They have on them only the things that the kids need to learn, and they're not jumbled up with a lot of things that at that level they're not needing to learn. This is one of the Exodus. New Testament maps have Paul's journeys, the land of Jesus, Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. And the Illustrated Bible Timeline. I think you have this in some of your classes. We have both a large and a small version. It has 34, it's 34 feet long. Has the green line that runs down through it. So you can separate them if you want to. You can cut them apart at certain places and use that green frog tape. You know about the frog tape at Lowe's, you can get it. You know that? It's green. Well, if you do any painting and you want to use tape to get a good edge, you use frog tape. It's better than blue tape, I'll tell you. It gives you a lot better edge. But anyway, it matches the Bible timeline. So you can stretch it across your room and you can separate the pieces to show the passing of time. So from Noah to Abraham, you can show that time passed by separating the pieces and joining them with tape. That's what the timeline looks like. You can see the green that runs down through it. Until you get to the divided kingdom, then we have the kings of Israel in the north and the kings of Judah in the south. If you're a good king, you have a smile. If you're a bad king, you have a frown. So in the north, they all frown. And if you're Athaliah, who was an absolutely wicked lady, she is horrible looking. in the timeline. Now the curriculum guide. Just some samples. Various teaching resources. How to use class in a box. How to do Sunday morning teaching. Wednesday night teaching. Bulletin board techniques. Notes for the Bible class coordinator. There's one down here if you want to look at it. So that's the big picture. Anybody have questions? You're really in a good position to have this workshop. I often do it for people who have not used the curriculum, so it's kind of harder to get your arms around everything. But since many of you are familiar with it from using it, I hope this has helped you put some things together and maybe know some of the finer points that you didn't realize were there. Okay, so I wanted to talk about this at the end, the Bible Lodge expectations. So if I were to ask you, God directed Moses to send spies into the land, you would tell me that what Old Testament book is that found in? Numbers? Did you say Numbers? If you said Numbers, you're correct. It's Numbers. So if I were to tell you they rebuilt the temple foundation, what book was that found in? Well, he encouraged that, but it's in the book of Ezra. That's right. So if you were a student at Castleberry Church, you would know that because of the Bible Knowledge expectations. And here's the way they work. They are supplemental to the curriculum. You can choose to do them or not to do them. If you don't do them, they're not going to detract from the lessons you're teaching. They're supplemental to that. So we fleshed out some things that we thought all kids ought to know. How many books there are in the Bible, for example. And how to say the books of the Old Testament, books of the New Testament. Key verses like John 3:16, Genesis 1:1, fruit of the Spirit, name the apostles, Beatitudes. And so they're called Bible knowledge expectations. And a part of them are the content of the books. So that you know the family of Abraham is found in Genesis and the deliverance from Egypt is found in Exodus and so forth. So they're inside the front cover of all workbooks. They're supplemental to the curriculum. They include Bible facts, map facts, and key verses. And they're reinforced in every lesson in all series. Let me show you how that works. So they're cumulative. If you were in K to first grade, you're to recite from memory John 3:16, do Bible facts 5 to 9, map fact 13, and name the apostles. Now remember, they have 2 years to work on that. Okay. Now they will have already done these Bible-nized expectations that are before them in earlier grades. Now they're working on these in K-1. Okay. They're reinforced in every lesson. Here's the way it looks. Oh, that's the map facts. Where to find them on the maps. And inside the back cover of the workbooks are the maps. At the end of each lesson, you'll find what's called something to do with Bible facts. In the case of Take Time to Be Holy, this is Take Time for Bible Facts. So you see these three right here. Those are three Bible knowledge expectations from that list that I just showed you. And they're scattered systematically throughout the curriculum. So in K-1, those that you're working on, in those books, they're found more, but the ones that you have already learned are also found occasionally. So you go back and review what you've learned. So they're systematically distributed in the curriculum. So if you don't do take time for Bible facts, you're not going to detract from the lessons you're teaching. But if you do them, you're adding to. If your kids go to Bible, if they go to FC camp somewhere and they have a Bible Jeopardy or something, you're preparing them for that.
Let me add to that. If you're studying Old Testament, the Bible books that you're learning are from Old Testament. If you're in New Testament,
Right. In the Bible facts, right. She reminded me, if you're studying in Old Testament books, you're learning the content of Old Testament books in the expectations. If you're studying New Testament, they're New Testament contents. Okay. All right, so there's all the components that we've talked about this morning. Any questions? All right, can we take a little break? Let's take about 7 minutes.